Okay, we are up to Perek Chaf Gimel in Malachim Bet, chapter 23, slowly marching towards the conclusion of the book, and this is our last, so to speak, great hope. And again, let me get my screen up. Let's see what happens. Okay. Put up my phone. Okay. Nah. Nikud. Lachim bet. Perek. We'll do Perek. Just go back for a second. Let me share my screen. Okay, so last week we, in depth, we went into chapter 22, the beginnings of the life of Yoshiyahu, King Josiah, who starts around the year 640 BCE. This is the time when historically Assyria is on its way down after almost a century of hegemony in the Middle East. Assyria is starting to find itself challenged by various rebellions in the empire, and especially by Babylonia to its east, which is slowly chipping away at the power of Assyria. It's in that context that it makes sense to understand that there was a confluence of factors that allowed Yoshiyahu to come to the forefront and begin his religious and political revolution. As we noted in chapter 22, Ben Shmona Shana Yoshiyahu ben Malcho, 31 Shana, he was 8 years old. So obviously he was appointed by people who steered him, and clearly different than his father, Menashe, people who steered him in the direction of Israelite religion, of turning its back on the Assyrian influences. Because again, with the waning of the Assyrian political power, that also gives an opportunity for to get rid of the cultural and religious influences of Assyria without as many ramifications as if you try to take down their religious, cultural, and political influence when they were at the height of their power. And the Bible tells us, Vahi b'shmona esrei shana lamelech Yoshiyahu, that is the story that we looked at last week, the story of the finding of the Sefer Torah, which leads Yoshiyahu to engage in a covenant ceremony, which we're going to look at tonight. In the context of that ceremony, it's important to look back at another prophet who we don't look at too much. And this is highlighted by in a number of shiurim that haven't necessarily been published, but by Rav Yoel ben Nun, the book that's worthwhile to look at, because it is told to us that it's a book that appears specifically during the time of Yoshiyahu. Devar Hashem Asher Haya El Tzfanya Ben Kushi Ben Gedalia Ben Amaryahu Ben Chizkiyahu B'yimei Yoshiyahu Ben Amon Melech Yehuda. So the Bible tells us that Tzfanya's prophecies are prophecies that are brought forth during the time of Yoshiyahu. We mentioned last week, again, if we go back for a second, in terms of the dates, Jeremiah is not yet a fully active prophet. If we remember again, Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, becomes an active prophet. He's mukdash. It says, "Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu asher banatot, asher haya dvar Adonai elav b'yimei Yoshiyahu ben Amon melech Yehuda b'shlosha esrei shana limolcho." In the 13th year of Yoshiyahu, Yirmiyahu is, so to speak, mukdash. He's consecrated to be a prophet. On the other hand, if we look again, when we looked at Malachim Bet, when we looked last week, the Bible had told us that here there's a gap between when he's 8 and he's 26. But if you remember last week, and again, just quick chazara, you remember in Divrei HaYamim, in the book of Chronicles, it fills in that gap, and it tells us in that gap, I think it was chapter 33, no, or 34. So it tells us, Ben Shmona Shanim Yoshiyahu b'molcho, Shloshim Shvachat Shana Malach B'Yushalayim, Vayas Hayashar B'nei Hashem, Vayach B'dar Chayaviv, U'bishmona Shanim L'molcho, V'hu Odenu Nar, Heichel Lidrosh L'Elohei David Aviv, U'bishtem Asrei Shana, Heichel L'Taher, Et Yehuda V'Yerushalayim, Min HaBamot, V'Ha'asherim, V'Ha'Pesilim, V'Ha'Masechot. So, this is in the 8th year of his reign, and this is in the 12th year. So in the 8th year of his reign, he starts to Heichel Lidrosh L'Elokei David. He starts to connect to, he starts to seek out. He's already an independent a kid. Maybe he was influenced by those who appointed him king, but he seems to seek out Elohei David Aviv. As I mentioned last week, Lidrosh generally means to seek out the Navi. Moshe says, Ki avo elai ha'am lidrosh Elokim. Rivka vatelech lidrosh et Hashem. Lidrosh is to seek out the counsel of the Navi. But who's the Navi? It's not Yirmiyahu yet. Yirmiyahu doesn't become a Navi until the 13th year of Yoshiyahu. And so who was the impetus behind this Ubishtem Esrei Shana Hechel L'Taher Et Yehuda of Yerushalayim? Who's the impetus for that? So that's where, again, as I said, Rav Yoel suggests that we have to look at the book of Tzvanya, a book that's, again, said is rarely read, but again, it's very interesting. Devar Hashem Aishariyaya El Tzvanya Ben Kushi Ben Gedalia Ben Amaryahu Ben Chizkiyahu Bimei Yoshiyahu Ben Amon Melech Yehuda. So the first thing that's interesting about this superscription to the book of Tzvanya is how long it is. We rarely have such a long, detailed superscription. Tzvanya ben Kushi ben Gedalia ben Amaryahu ben Chizkiyahu, 5 generations back. I mean, why do we need to know that? And it's fascinating, the last generation that's mentioned is Chizkiyahu. Now, is this the same Chizkiyahu HaMelech that we know about? And so this was one of the children of Chizkiyahu, not necessarily the child who became, you know, who was the line of the heir of the throne, right? Because Chizkiyahu had other children, etc. But Menashe, who became the king. But it's tantalizing, number one. Number two, even if it's not, what is the Bible saying that it goes back so many generations? Is the Bible hinting to us, that's Rav Yoel's contention, that this is a Navi who has a Masoret? He has a tradition that goes back a number of generations. And if you go back a number of generations, what you're really saying is you're going back before Menashe. Menashe was the king for 55 years. So if you are prophesying at the time of Yoshiyahu and you're going back 5 generations, you're going back prior to the terrible things that Menashe did to bring in the Assyrian influence. You're going back to the time of Chizkiyahu. Either literally he's a descendant of Chizkiyahu,
or it's playing with us that it's from the time of Chizkiyahu. And so this Tzfanya may be the Navi, the anonymous person who Yoshiyahu was Doresh, that Yoshiyahu went to seek counsel from. And specifically because look at the Nevuah that Tzfanya gives. Asof asef kol me'al pnei adama. I will gather everybody. Asef adamu behema, asef of Hashemayim. God is giving a prophecy of terrible calamity. And God is saying, V'natati et yadi al Yudah v'al kol yoshvei Yerushalayim, V'hichrati min ha-makom hazeh et she'ar ha-baal, the Baal, et ha-shem ha-kmarim, the priests im ha-kohanim, v'et ha-mishtachavim al ha-gagot, Litzva Hashamayim, that Amishtachavim Anishmaim LaHashem, and those who also pray to God, but they are also at the same time praying to others. Vahanishbaim Bimalkam, and those who have no religion at all, and they are simply trust in the government, the king. Vetanisogim Yachare Hashem, Asher Lo Bikshuet Hashem Velo Drashu, and those who don't seek God, as opposed to Yoshiyahu, who the Bible says in Divrei Hayamim, Hechel Lidrosh et Hashem. Ki karov yom Hashem, ki echin Hashem zevach ikdish kruav, vaya biyom zevach Hashem, ufakadeti al asarim v'al bnei ha-melech v'al kol ha-lovshim malbush nachri. God will bring this yom Hashem on all those who wear the clothing of the foreigners, which basically means those who follow the practices of the foreigners. Ufakadeti al kol hadoleg al hamiftan, which was some sort of avodah zara ritual. V'haya bayom ahunu Moshem kol tse'aka, etc., etc. And this is the prophecy that he gives. And it is a very, very intense prophecy, and that they will be destroyed. The shupach damam ke'afar, gam kaspam, gam zavam lo yuchul atzlam biyom evrat Hashem veish kinato tiachel kol haaretz ki chala ach nifala yaseh et kol yoshvei haaretz. Now, this is the nevuah that Yoshiyahu heard. This is the nevuah that Yoshiyahu heard. It's a nevuah that says that God will destroy all the Avodah Zarah. God will destroy all. And the question is, did Yoshiyahu hear in that a couple of things? Number one, did he hear in that, oh, maybe I am the agent to fulfill the Yad Hashem of this Yom Hashem HaGadol? Because just like in many other nevuot, you know, God's plan is effectuated by human beings, whether it's Ashur, whether it's Bavel, whether it's this king, whether it's that king. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two is, did he also believe that maybe if he did it, then that would spare the more, you know, the more broader destruction that's mentioned here? Because in the broader destruction, it says, Yom Evraha, Yom Ahu, Yom Tzara Mitzuka, Yom Shoah Umishoah, Yom Anan V'Arafel. And did he see in, if he eradicates the Avodah Zarah, that there was the potential that, again, that they would be saved? Okay? Is that part of what he is about as well? So this is very, very striking. And now when we go and we actually read Perek Chaf Gimel in Malachim Bet, after last week's Perek where we read about that they found the Sefer Torah. Remember, right? That was what we read. They found the Sefer Torah. And they cleaned up, they're cleaning up the Beit HaMikdash, and they found the Sefer Torah. And once again, he hears a nevuah, but this time it's from the Torah. And once again, he says, "Lichu dirshu et Hashem ba'di v'ram ve'ad kol Yehuda divrei ha'sefer nimtza kaze ki gdola chamat Hashem." Because we haven't listened to this. And it's at this point that Huldah tells him that there's going to be a terrible destruction. Did that confirm for him what he had heard from Tzefanya? Which leads us to the Perek today. Leads us to our Perek today. Because our Perek today, what do we say? Vayishlach after, again, we concluded last week with the nevuah of Huldah, where the nevuah had said, "Ko amar Hashem ini mevi ra'al ma'kom hazeh l'koshav et kol divrei ha'sefer tachat asher azavuni v'katru l'olim achrim l'machiseni b'chol ma'aseh yedeim v'nitzach hamatib ma'kom hazeh l'tichbeh." It's not going to stop. Ve'el melech Yudah sholech etchem l'rosh et Hashem kol temuruv ko amar al k'Yisrael yan rach levavcha v'tikana mipnei Hashem b'shamachat et asher dibarti al ma'kom hazeh. Because you had done teshuvah, you will not see this in your day. Now, what is the king's reaction? The king's reaction could have been giving up hope. But clearly, the king at this point decides that no, that maybe there is the potential to avert the total destruction if the nevuah that he had heard a few years earlier, which pinpointed exactly all the different avodah zarah, is destroyed. And so that's how you read Perek Chaf Gimel. Vayishlach haMelech, vayesvei lav kol ziknei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, vayal haMelech beit Hashem v'chol ish Yehuda v'chol yoshei Yerushalayim ito, v'hakohanim v'hanevi'im v'cholam limakaton v'ad gadol, vayikra be'ozneihem et kol sefer divrei sefer habrit hanimtza b'beit Hashem. Notice the book is now called Sefer HaBrit. That, of course, reminds us. The other book that is called Sefer HaBrit is, of course, the covenant book that was done right after Matan Torah. We go back to Shemot, Perek Chaf Dalet, where the Bible describes covenant ceremony of accepting the Torah. Vayavo Moshe vayisaper lam et kol divrei Hashem, et kol ha-mishpatim. Vayimru kol ha-dvarim asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Vayichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem. And then they have a ceremony where Moshe Rabbeinu vayikach Moshe et adam vayizrok al ha'am vayomer hinei dam habrit asher karat Hashem imachem. And Moshe reads this book. Vayikach sefer habrit vayikra be'oznei ha'am. Vayomru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. So you have a ceremony that solidifies in chapter 24 that which they had just heard in chapter 20, 21, 22, which is they heard Aseret HaDibrot, then they got afraid. Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the rest of the Mishpatim. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, makes a covenant ceremony. The people accept the covenant. And God says to Moshe, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ale lai hara, ve'yesham ve'etneh lecha et luchot ha'even," etc., etc. He's going to give him the luchot that represent the breed. So now, when we come back home here, I'm sorry, when we come back to Malachim, and he comes and he gathers everybody, and he says, the Bible says that he gathered everybody together, just like at Matan Torah, just at like Hakel. Vayikra be'ozneihem et kol sefer habrit hanimtza beveit Hashem. Vayamod ha'melech al amud vayichrot et habrit lifnei Hashem. Lalechet acharei Hashem, achar Hashem. V'lishmor mitzvotav ve'et edotav ve'et chukotav. Which of course is the language of Sefer Devarim. B'chol lev u'b'chol nefesh. Lehakim et divrei habrit hazot haktuvim la'sefer hazeh, vayamod kol ha'am babrit. The people seem to have accepted the brit. So what you have here is a covenant ceremony, which is then followed by a fulfillment, if you look carefully, almost every element of Avodah Zarah that Sefanya mentioned is mentioned in the next few psukim. Vayitzav ha-melech et Chilkiyahu kohen gadol ve'et kohanei ha-mishneh ve'et shomrei asaf lohutzi me'achal Hashem et kol ha-kelim ha-asuyim la-ba'al v'la-asherah u'lechol tzva ha-shamayim. So basically, to get rid of the Baal and the Asherah, Vayisrafei michutz lirushalayim b'shadmot kidron, v'nasat afaram beit el, and then he gets rid of the priests, v'hishbit et akmarim, just as Sefanya mentioned, that God would come and destroy the kmarim on that Yom Hashem, so he is coming and doing that, asher natnu malchei Yuda, v'yikater babamot, Be'arei Yudah Musibei Yerushalayim, ve'tamikatrim la-ba'al, la-shemesh, la-yareach, la-mazalot, u'l'chol tzva ha-shamayim. He gets rid of all of these priests who had led all of this Avodah Zarah. Vayotzei et ha-asherah mi-beit Hashem mi-chutz Yerushalayim, el nachal kidron, vayisrof ota b'nachal kidron, vayadek la-afar. Now here too, this is very reminiscent of the biblical narrative, because just like in the biblical narrative, there was, of course, Matan Torah. And after Matan Torah, the Jewish people committed the grave sin of the Chet HaEgel. And Moses came down from the mountain and destroyed the Chet HaEgel. And one of the first things that he did was that he burned the Egel, and then he ground it into afar in a wadi near the stream. And here too you have a similar idea of destroying, of defiling all of the Avodah Zarah in the various places. And he went and he defiled the Tophet, whatever that is, Asher Begay Ben Hinnom. Probably that was where they did the ordeal of putting the children. Levilti lahavir ishet binovet bito ba'esh lamolech. Vayashbeit et asusim ashenatnu malchei Yudah la'shemesh mibo beit Yudah, etc., etc. V'tamizbachot asher al hagag aliyat achaz asher asu malchei Yudah. And again, we go back to Achaz. Achaz, who was the father of Chizkiyahu. He destroys the Avodah Zarah from the time of Achaz that had become so entrenched during the time of Menashe. V'tamizbachot asher asa Menashe b'shtei chatzrot beit Hashem. V'yaratz misham v'yishlich et afaram nachal kidron. And not only that, he destroys the Bamot. Even the Bamot that had been done by Shlomo HaMelech. He goes back and in a certain way he rebuilds the temple. I also would suggest that just like after Matan Torah, the Bible goes straight into the Mishkan, which is the way that you perpetuate how you serve God and how you interact with the divine presence after interacting with the divine presence on Har Sinai. Here too, you have Chet HaEgel and the burning of all the Avodah Zarah. And here too, you have a kind of Mishkan. He's cleaning out the entire Beit HaMikdash. He gets rid of all the foreign stuff that's in the Beit HaMikdash, lehotzi mehechal Hashem, to take it out of the Beit HaMikdash. He gets rid of the Kohanim who are serving. Vayotzei et ha-asherah mi-Beit Hashem mi-chutz li-Yerushalayim. Vayitotz et batei ha-kedeshim, whatever that is, some sort maybe of prostitution worship, asher be-Beit Hashem. And he gets rid of this, and he gets rid of the Avodah Zarah that Achaz had brought. ואת המזבחות אשר עשה מנשה בחצרות בית השם, once again, ואת הבמות אשר על פני ירושלים, and all the bamot. Now the bamot, remember, are a mix. You can have bamot, these personal altars scattered around. Some of them are for Avodah Zarah, but some of them are also for God, for the Yudke Vavke, the Israelite religion, but from the perspective of Devarim and the Book of Kings, once you have a Beit HaMikdash, it's supposed to be centralized worship. You're not supposed to have any more people going and doing that. That abamot asher al pnei Yerushalayim, asher miyamin lahar hamashchit, asher bana Shlomo melech Yisrael. He's reversing the corruption of Shlomo, who was the first builder of the Beit HaMikdash. The bamot that he had given to these various avodah zarah of the wives that he had taken. Vetabamot asher al pnei Yerushalayim asher miyamin lahar hamashchit asher bana Shlomo melech Yisrael ashterot shikutz tzidonim, the avodah zarah of the Sidonites. Velichmosh shikutz Moav, the avodah zarah of Moab. Ulamilkom toavat bnei Ammon, all these he defiled. Veshibaret ha-matzevot vayichrot et ha-asherim vayimalei et mikomam atzmot adam. He filled it up with the bones of dead people. V'gam et ha-mizbeach asher bebeit el. He went all the way up north. Again, remember, we've already mentioned that in a number of places that Yoshiyahu and Yirmiyahu had the vision, and there were obviously nevuot of the restoration of the unified kingdom. And it makes perfect sense that this would be a perfect time to do it. With the waning of the Assyrian power, this would be a great time to once again recapture the territories of the north, maybe even repopulate the cities with the descendants of the people who had already become, been refugees in Jerusalem and Judah, or maybe even go further up north and repatriate some of the tribes that had been exiled. Who knows? Who knows what? But it's very fascinating that he went into the Shomron. Okay? And he went and undid the Avodah Zarah of Yeravam ben Nevat, meaning he's going back to the very beginning of the schism between the north and the south. V'gam et ha-mizbeach asher bebeit el ha-bama asher asa Yeravam sherechti Yisrael, v'gam et ha-mizbeach ha-hu v'et ha-bama natatz, he destroyed. V'yisrof et ha-badama ha-hedek la-afar v'saraf ha-sherah. He destroyed it, he ground it, and he burnt it. He did exactly what it says to do in Sefer Dvarim with the Avodah Zarah. Vayifan Yosher vayara takvarim asher sham bahar vayishlach vayikach et atzmot min hakvarim vayisrof al mizbeach vayitam ehu kidvar Adonai asher karaish. Okay? And they also mention the Ish ha-Elokim, which is the story in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, who was eaten by the lion, who's there. V'gam et kol batei habamot asher bi'arei shomron asher asu malchei Yisrael lachis, hisir Yoshiyahu v'yas lahem kechol ha-ma'asim asher asa bebeit el. V'yizbach et kol ha-kohanei habamot asher sham, he offers them as korbanot. V'yisrof et atzmot v'yashav Yerushalayim. So he comes, he destroys the Avodah Zarah. He makes a covenant with God and with the people, again, having the echoes of Matan Torah and Chet HaEgel and the building of the Mishkan and the restoration of the Beit HaMikdash to its very foundation prior to the corruption of Shlomo, prior to the schism of the north. And now he goes one step further. He goes back into Jewish history, and the Bible tells us, once you destroy the covenant with the Avodah Zarah, and you've read the book of the Brit, he decides to gather the people in an act of peoplehood, in addition to reading the Sefer HaBrit, Vayitzav HaMelech et Kol Ha'am Lemor, Asu Pesach LaHashem Elokechem, Kakatuv Al Sefer HaBrit Hazeh. Come and do Pesach, as it says in this book, in this book of the Torah. Everyone should come up to Jerusalem. Everyone should come and do Pesach. Now, Pesach, of course, once again, represents a reconnection to the foundational statement of Jewish history, of leaving the hands of Paro and being independent, being a servant of God, of the Avduni Bamidbar. It's the mitzvah together with Brit Milah. It's the mitzvat aseh. It's the only positive mitzvah that if you don't do it, you get cut off from the people. So once you've been koreit a brit, now it's time to do Korban Pesach. Ki lo na'asa ka Pesach hazem yimei ha'shoftim asher shavtu et Yisrael. It's an act of reestablishing the Jewish people as if they came back into and settled the land. Ki im b'shmona esrei shana la'melech Yosheu na'asa ha'pesach hazeh la'adonai b'Yerushalayim. That's when they did it. And if you look in the book of Chronicles, you have a very, very detailed description of all of the korbanot that they brought and everything that they did. V'gam et ha'ovot v'et ha'idonim v'et ha'trafim v'et ha'gilulim v'et kol asheniru b'eretz Yerushalayim bi'er Yoshiyahu l'man hakim et divrei ha'torah k'tuvim ha'sefer asher matza Chilkiyahu Kohen Beit Hashem. Why this verse is here and shouldn't be before, I'm not sure. Maybe it has to do with as they were doing the Avodah Zarah, as they were bringing up the Korban Pesach, they discovered the Jews were still doing, if they weren't doing literal Avodah Zarah, but these are soothsaying and trying to tell the future. And the Bible ends this part of the book, of the Perek, with an audacious statement about Yoshiyahu. For the book of Kings, Yoshiyahu is the greatest king since Shlomo, David and Shlomo. V'chamo lo haya lefanav melech. There was no king asher shav el Hashem b'chol levavo. This, of course, is the language of the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Bible uses the language. That's why some Bible critics will claim that the book of Devarim, which describes what you're supposed to do to Avodah Zarah, and what describes B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Navshecha, was actually written during this time of Yoshiyahu, as opposed to the book of Kings playing off of the book. But again, this is not my topic here tonight. And many, many have written refutations, support, argumentations around this whole topic. You can see who writes about it. Rav Amnon Bazak in his book, Ad Hayom Hazeh, Till This Day, writes about it. Alex Israel, in his book on the Book of Kings, writes about it. Many people, again, but it's a side discussion. It's not, you know, it's not essential to the book. But the Bible ends here. V'chamo lo haya lifnei melech asher shav l'Hashem b'chol, v'acharav lo kam kamohu. Ach lo shav Hashem mecharon apo, the play on words. Chamo lo haya melech asher shav. There was no king before him who returned to God. However, God did not return, did not cancel his charon af. Al kol ha-ke'asim asher hich'iso min Hashem. Because of everything that Menashe had done. Now, the rabbis, and it's hinted at in the text, they interpret this as, what do you mean? He was such a great king. So what do you mean that it didn't stop the Khorban? And again, the rabbis, and again, I think it's imminent in the Pshat, the rabbis take this as a statement that it focuses very much on Yoshiyahu. V'chamou lo haya lefanav melech asher shava l'Hashem b'chol lebav b'chol nafshu b'chol me'odo. V'acharav lo kam. It was only that, meaning that this gargantuan tshuva that he did and his actions were too much milamala, in the sense that they reflected the palace and the state religion, but it didn't necessarily change. It didn't reach the entirety of all strata of society. And even if the king had, on the public level, had destroyed all the Avodah Zarah, again, the rabbis have all kinds of images of it. I'm not going into that, but the sense is from the text that it wasn't enough to transform the entire society. And God did not feel that it had atoned enough for all the sins of Menashe that had been accepted by the people and were widespread. Vayomer Hashem, gam et Yehuda asir me'al panei adama, me'al panei kasher hisiroti Yisrael. I will get rid of Judah like I got rid of Israel. Uma'asti et ha'ir hazot asher bacharti Yishlaim et ha'bayit asher amarti yesh misham. I will reject it. V'yeter divrei Yoshiyahu v'chol asher asah Elohim k'tuvim al sefer divrei ha'yamim l'malchei Yehuda. But the Bible tells us one final story about our good friend Yoshiyahu, which we have to unpack. The Biyamav ala paro necho melech Mitzrayim al melech Ashur al Nahar Prat. We know from extra biblical sources that this event occurred in 609 BCE. The background, historical background, is a situation in which Babylonia is now on the rise. It has destroyed already the major city of Assyria, Nineveh, in the 614, 613, I remember exactly, somewhere around there. It's now continuing its path to gobble up the various cities that Assyria and the various countries that Assyria had control over. And this would culminate in the Battle of Carchemish in the the last decade of the 600s of the 7th century. And in this background, there are those who want to argue that at this point, Yoshiyahu is interested in dealing the final blow to Assyria and possibly making an alliance with Bavel, and maybe understanding that that's why Paro, Melech Necho, Melech Mitzrayim, again, based on the extra biblical evidence, he goes to try to stop Bavel and maybe to be support Assyria, because he doesn't want Bavel, Babylonia, to become the new hegemon in this area. And it may be that that's why Yoshiyahu decides to step in. Again, the text is very, very silent. Biyamav ala paro necho melech Mitzrayim amelech Ashur al Nahar Prat. In his day, he went to Melech Ashur. And again, it's not that he's going to fight Melech Ashur, but he's going to be an ally in the battle against Babylonia. Vayelech ha-melech Yoshiyahu likrato v'yemiteva migido kiroto oto. The Melech of Bavel kills him. He's in the way. He's trying to stop the progress of the Egyptians from coming to support the Assyrians against the Babylonians. And he is killed in this moment. We get a little bit more information in the book of Divrei HaYamim, a little bit more information, and in Divrei HaYamim Bet, let's take a look, Divrei HaYamim Bet, Perek Lamed Dalet. So the Bible tells us or is it the next parak? Let's see. Is it the next parak? Yeah. Right, so they do this. Yes. And the Bible describes for us after the Pesach, and again, it's a nice little irony that he does the Pesach, and then he's killed by Melech Mitzrayim, which of course is a kind of ironic reversal, because the Pesach represents us leaving Egypt, destroying Egypt, Paro dying, and here it's a kind of reversal when God doesn't want it to happen. Acharei kol zot asher chin yoshev t'abayit ala nechol Melech Mitzrayim v'lechem b'kar kemish al prat v'yetze likrato Yoshiyahu. Vayishlach elav malachim lemor, maliv alach melech Yudah, stay out of it. Lo alecha ta'ayom, ki el beit milchamti, ve'lohim amar levaleini, stay out of it. Ve'lo eisev Yosheu panam mimenu, ki lilachem bo hitchapes. Ve'lo shamal divrei necho mipi Elohim, he didn't listen to the words of Necho, who was quoting a divine oracle. Vayor ayurim alach Yosheu, ve'melech levdav, ayurim ki chach leiti meod, he's killed by the He's dying because of the wounds of the arrows. Vayivireu avadavin merkava vayikrivel recham mishneh, etc. etc. V'chol Yehuda mitavlim al Yoshiyahu. They're all now again in the rabbinic imagination. This is kind of the last gasp of potential Yoshiyahu. And that might have been another reason why he was trying to stop Mitzrayim, because he felt that he should be the one to control the north. And he wanted to stop him from going to the north. And he felt that God was, so to speak, on his side to go and capture the north after everything else that had happened. But the Bible ends with this very famous statement. Vayikonen Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu v'yomer kol asrim asarot b'kinotam Yoshiyahu hayom v'yitnum l'chol kal Yisrael v'hinam k'tuvim ala kinot. There were specific kinot written just about this event. Again, the idea being that the death of Yoshiyahu was the last gasp, the last great gasp of hope that Am Yisrael had to be able to turn around their fortunes from the terrible prophecies that they had heard in the name of Huldah, and also at the same time Yirmiyahu. Yeah, I wanted to add in that context. Yeah, just to add in the context of Yirmiyahu. Let me just get the Machon Mamre. This idea that the tshuva of Yoshiyahu was not as widespread. It didn't go beyond the precincts as much as it should have. Seems to be hinted at in a number of places in the book of Jeremiah. Again, not all of the prakim of Jeremiah are, you know, we have headers exactly when they, but we have a number of statements where the Navi says, Where does he say that? Yeah. He says, Shimu dvar Hashem beit Yaakov v'chol mishpachot. Ma matzu avotechem biyavel ki rachaku mi'alai. V'lo amru ayei Hashem, amalei otam yaretz Yitzrayim, etc., etc. Where does he say about the fact that Am Yisrael... Da, 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 da. Right, so he describes the people who are saying how they're so pure. Eich tomri lo nitmeiti, acharei ha-be'alim lo halachti, ri'i darkeich bagai, di'ime asit, bichra kalam misarechet d'racheha. So they kind of deny what they're doing. Kivoshet ganav ki matzei kein hovishu b'nei Beit Yisrael. They're, you know, they're doing these things, but they're lying as if they didn't do it. Vatomri kini keiti achshav apomeni hinei nishpat otach al amreich lo chatati. You're going to be judged for saying that you didn't sin, but really, you didn't really do teshuva. And I think in the next chapter, in Perek Gimel, yeah, Vayomar Hashem Elai Bimei Yoshiyahu Melech Ha-Ra'ita Asher Astam Meshuvah Yisrael Holchahi Al Kol Har Gavoa Vatizni Sham Vaomar Acharei Asotat Kol Eile Elai Tashuv Lo Shava. And right, it says that it's going to do tshuva, but they don't really do tshuva. V'gam b'chol zot, lo shava elai bagod achota yuda b'chol liba. It didn't come back to God with all its heart. Ki im b'sheker. The entire tshuva of Am Yisrael was a bit of a sheker. So even if there was a tshuva, a revival, that was driven by the state and driven by Yoshiyahu, it wasn't really as sincere and as widespread as could have possibly stopped the Churban. So what we have left in the last two chapters is basically managing the catastrophe. How bad will it be? Given the fact that it's clear that the tragedy is going to come, the question is, how bad will it be? How quickly will it be? Was there still a chance to stave off, not the total destruction, not the destruction, but could have been minimized in some way? Maybe the exile would have been less. Maybe the killing would have been less. Maybe they would have spared Jerusalem, but not the Beit HaMikdash. Meaning, maybe there's all kinds of what we would call damage control or danger reduction that could have happened, which we're going to look at in the next two prakim that will close up our study of Sefer Melachim. Have a wonderful week, everybody, and I will see you next week. Kol Tuv.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you so much. Lovely share. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.